Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is number 424. Knocking them out there. We're doing real well. My website is https, as in sugar, :// www.pastor-steve.com. If you just Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get something else. There's a whole bunch of them out there, evidently. I didn't know about that, but oh well. We're in the book of Luke. We're going to be beginning at chapter 16 today. He's going to be talking to his taught ones and doing parables. I strongly suggest that you get something to write with and something to write on, because I'm going to be giving lots of notes, as I usually do. I'm not going to try to rush anything. I'll do two chapters today. Any more than that, I'm really pushing it, and this really needs patience and thoroughness. I don't like to hurry when I'm doing scripture. So let's get started. Verse 1 of chapter 16. This is Yahshua going to talk to his taught ones. And he also said to his taught ones, there was a certain rich man who had a manager, and he was accused to him as wasting his possessions. Verse 2. So having called him, he said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, for you are no longer able to be manager. Verse 3. And the manager said within himself, he was reasoning on, what shall I do? For my master is taking the managership away from me. I am unable to dig. I am ashamed to beg. Verse 4. I know what I shall do, that when I am removed from the managership, they might receive me into their houses. Verse 5. And calling every one of his master's debtors to him, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? Verse 6. And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Verse 7. Then to another he said, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. Verse 8. And the master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. Because the sons of this age are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Stop right here. The sons of this age. The age of the prince and power of the air. He's in control right now. So he was dishonest and was cheating his master. And the sons of light that want to be honest are not as shrewd business-wise. In other words, they won't cheat. They won't be dishonest. But it's going to tell you what happens in verse 9. Here we are in verse 9, and you can reference the book of Tobit. It's in the Apocrypha, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And Yeshua said to these people, verse 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. That's the deity of wealth, okay? That's what mammon is. That when you fail, they shall receive you into everlasting dwellings. Verse 10, he who is trustworthy in what is least is trustworthy also in much, and he who is unrighteous in what is least is unrighteous also in much. In other words, he's mocking in verse 9. They're going to give you everlasting dwellings because you cheated and lied and were dishonest. Verse 11. If, therefore, you have not been trustworthy in the unrighteous mammon, who shall entrust you to the true? In other words, if you're going to be untrustworthy with lies, who? How can you be trustworthy with the truth? Mm-hmm. Just a second. I have to cough. Oh, that's better. Verse 12. And if you have not been trustworthy in what is another man's, who shall give you what is your own? And here's the crux of the matter. Yeshua gets to it right here. Verse 13. And you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24. That's Matthew 6, 24. No servant is able to serve two masters, for either he shall hate the one and love the other, or else he shall cling to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Elohim and Mammon. So that's Yahweh or the God of wealth. Because they're stuff worshipers. Stuff worshipers. The great God of stuff that they worship today. And then, okay, they love that. And the Pharisees, who loved silver, don't they love silver today? Also heard all this and were sneering at him. So, verse 13 or 15, so he said to them, you are those who declare yourselves righteous before men, but Elohim knows your hearts. Okay, you can't hide what's in your heart, but Elohim knows your hearts, because what is highly thought of among men is an abomination in the sight of Elohim. All right. Verse 16. These are notes. For verse 16, you can reference Matthew chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. That's Matthew 11, 12 and 13. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. That's Ezekiel 22, 26. And Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 4. Zephaniah 3, 4. Okay. Here we are. Verse 16. The Torah and the prophets are until Yohanan. That's John. All right. That's all we had. Continuing on in verse 16. Since then, the reign of Elohim is being announced, and everyone is doing violence upon it. Well, they're still doing violence today. Verse 17, and you can reference the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 18. All right. This makes it very clear for these people that are saying the law's nailed to the cross. Okay. This is the one that they ignore. Verse 17, and it is easier for the heaven and the earth to pass away than for one tittle, that's the cross of a T, of the Torah to fall. That's the law, the teachings of Moshe, from Yahweh through Moshe. This isn't going to sit well with some people. I'm sorry, but here it is. Verse 18. And you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 32. That's Matthew 5, 32. And 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. That's 1 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11. Everyone putting away his wife and marrying another commits adultery. Okay. In other words, you want a new model? And you want to get rid of your wife? You're still married. If she isn't sinning and she's not cheating on you, you don't have the right to divorce her. And here's the second half of this verse. And everyone marrying her who is put away from her husband commits adultery. That is Yeshua speaking. It tells you to see the footnote in Matthew 5:32, so just read Matthew 5:32. Now that don't hate on me over that, please. This is the Messiah speaking. Everyone putting away his wife and marrying another commits adultery, and everyone marrying her who is put away from her husband commits adultery. She's still married until her husband dies. That's going to hurt some folks, you know. I'm sorry. But that's Yahweh in the flesh speaking. Verse 19. But there was a certain rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen and lived luxuriously every day. Verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Eleazar, being covered with sores, who was placed at his gate. Verse 21. And longing to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Indeed, even the dogs came and licked his sores. He just wanted leftovers, just something that you're going to throw out that's maybe still edible. Verse 22, and you can reference 4th Maccabees chapter 13, verse 17. 4th Maccabees 13:17. And it came to be that the beggar died and was carried by the messengers, that's angels, to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. Verses 23 and 24. You can reference 2nd Esdras chapter 7, verse 36, and chapter 8, verse 59. That's 2 Esdras 7, 36, and 8, 59. Now, I'll tell you what Sheol is. Sheol is the land of the dead and its inhabitants. Verse 23. And while suffering tortures in Sheol, having lifted up his eyes, he saw Abraham far away and Eleazar in his bosom. Verse 24, and crying out, he said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me and send Eleazar to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. Okay, what does that sound like? That's punishment. Okay, verse 23. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your life you received your good And likewise, Eleazar the evil, and now he is comforted. And you are suffering. Okay, you are suffering. Verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set, so that those who wish to pass from here to you are unable, nor do those from there pass to us. You're not going to be going back and forth if you know that you've got a relative in the lake. You can't go help them. They've made their choice here. That's how it is. Verse 27. And he said, that's the guy down in Sheol, then I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Verse 28. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, lest they also come to this place of torture. Verse 29. Abraham said to him, they have Moshe and the prophets. Let them hear them. Verse 30. It gets tough here. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they shall repent. Verse 31, but he said to him, if they do not hear Moshe and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, even if one should rise from the dead. Now, what does that tell you, folks? That tells you that we are in the testing ground here. We have choices to make here. And if you make the bad choices and you pass from here, you're hit. You cannot go back. You cannot change anything. You have a choice to make while you are here. And once you're out of here, you no longer have the opportunity to make choices. You must choose while you are in the choosing place. That's here, okay? A lot of people think, oh, that's all there is. This is it. When we die, those that don't believe in the resurrection or Yeshua, and they just live and try to accumulate as many toys and goodies as they can. They worship stuff, and their ego is in play, and they are stuff worshipers. Oh, man, I got 14 Cadillacs, man. I don't have to drive a new one for 2 weeks. I got a big supply of Cadillacs. Okay, and what's that going to do to you? You going to take them with you? That ends chapter 16. Let's get into chapter 17 here. And he said to the taught ones, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks should come. Okay, we're going to have problems. We're going to stumble here. And we have to pick ourselves up and go on. Paul said, I die daily. He dies to sin daily. That's what you got to do. You got to keep on working on your life here, okay? That stumbling blocks should come, but woe to him through whom they come. In other words, if somebody is afflicting the chosen remnant, they're really going to be punished. Verse 2 of chapter 17. It would be better for him if a millstone is put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Little ones being us. Verse 3 of chapter 17. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, that's your brother, your racial kinsman, sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Reference Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. That's Matthew 18, 15. Now that's not just everybody, that's your brother. All right, he said, if he repents, if he's truly repentant and truly sorry and truly wants to make amends, you should forgive him. Not just lip service, but real, actual repentance. Verse 4. And if he sins against you, seven times in a day comes back to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. The guy's having a bad day, okay? We all have those. We all have them, and we snap at people. We're in a bad mood, and we'll snap at one of our friends. You've done it. I've done it. All God's children have done it, okay? We have bad days. We're not on top of things. But real repentance is real repentance. If you're really sorry and you want to make amends, that's different. That's heartfelt and honest. Verse 5. And the emissaries, that's his taught ones, the ones he sent out in ministry, and the emissaries said to the master, give us more belief. Like he can just open up a package of belief and hand out little belief tablets. Verse 6, and the master said, that's Yeshua. If you have belief as a mustard seed, that's a tiny, tiny, tiny little seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Verse 7. But who of you, having a servant plowing or shepherding, would say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat. Verse 8. But would he not rather say to him, prepare somewhat for my supper and gird yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Verse 9. Would he thank that servant because he did what he was commanded? I think not. Verse 10. So also you, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have done what was our duty to do. In other words, if you're doing your duty, what you're supposed to, you don't really have anything extra coming. Doing right is its own reward. All right, let's take people that are really in the ministry, not the people that are making tons of money on it, making a commerce out of ministry. Do it for free because it's right, because they're called to do it. Okay, Eli doesn't get paid. David James doesn't get paid. I don't get paid. Don't ask to get paid. I'm called to do this. Yahweh said, preach this gospel, Steve. Somebody told you the good news, now you tell others. And I do. And I don't expect anything from it. I'm doing fine. Yahweh's taking care of me. Don't have to worry about anything. Even when, if I die in this world, I don't have to worry where I'm going. Okay? This body, I'll be gone from this body. I won't feel pain. I won't know anything. I'll be sleeping. But I'll be in the resurrection because I belong to Him. Not because of my righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Yeshua that bailed me out. Okay? Verse 11 of chapter 17, and it came to be, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Shomeron, that's Samaria, and Galil, that's Galilee. Verse 12. And as he was entering into a certain village, he was met by 10 leprous men who stood at a distance, because the stuff is really contagious. Verse 13, they lifted up their voices, saying, Yeshua, Master, have compassion on us. Verse 14, and having seen them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to be that as they were going, they were cleansed. Reference Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 32. Leviticus 14, 1 through 32. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned praising Elohim with a loud voice, and he fell down upon his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Shomeroni. All right. Person from Samaria. Let's get a little history here. Samaria was of Israel. Okay, Shomeron. They had apostatized. They were Israelites. They had apostatized, and their method of worship made them excluded by the Israelites in Jerusalem. They were not following the true path, okay? But they were not racial aliens, okay? There were some there, but there were some in Jerusalem as well. There were racial aliens. The Edomites, the Pharisees, and the leaders of the congregation, they were Edomites. So this guy evidently, through the Holy Spirit, he showed that he was of Israel. Let's go back. Verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Shomeroni. Verse 17. And Yeshua answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to Elohim except this foreigner? And the note here says the Greek word referring to this Shomeroni is allogenes, which means of another race. There were 9 Israelites and 1 of a mixed race. And that was this guy. And the Israelites didn't come back. Now that's strange, isn't it? Remember the Syrophoenician woman said, even the dogs eat crumbs from their master's table. See, different. All right. Verse 19. And he said to him, rise, go your way. Your belief has made you well. He believed. All right, now, allogenes, which they say in their note here, that word means of another race. It could mean of another ethnic group. Also, like Guinea, okay? That's not hard and fast that he was a racial alien. Because his behavior did not show that he was a racial alien. They're not real clear right here. They use this word. But an ethnic group could be those that just worshiped differently. So we really don't know. But the point is, his belief made him well. Now, why would he go and show himself to the priest if he was not an Israelite and didn't worship at the temple? They wouldn't let anybody that was not an Israelite in the temple. There's more than meets the eye here, which is not unusual for Scripture. Verse 20. And having been asked by the Pharisees when the reign of Elohim would come, he answered them and said, the reign of Elohim does not come with intent watching. In other words, if you just are waiting daily for it to come down, it's already here, but it's beginning to manifest itself. Verse 21, nor shall they say, look here, or look there, for look, the reign of Elohim is in your midst. What did I just say? It's here if you follow, but it's in contention with the administration of the prince and power of the air. And we come out from this world and don't participate in this world's evil. We're of the remnant, and we're in the reign of Elohim, and we're watching, and we will see the contention come to fruition with the big battle that's coming up. I mean, the sides are being chosen right now. People are deciding which side they're going to be on. That's what this decision-making process is. Verse 22. And he said to the taught ones, days shall come when you shall long to see one of the days of the Son of Adam, but you shall not see it. They weren't going to see it. It's going to come later. It still hasn't come all the way. He hasn't come back because there's still grace in the world. And when he comes back, the grace period's going to end. And the choosing ground, well, you won't have any choice anymore. You will either have chosen to be of him or not. you're going to be of the wheat or the tares. You're making your choice right now. Verse 23, and they shall say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them nor follow. This describes when he comes. It's going to be lightning quick. Okay, verse 24. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Adam shall be in his day. When he comes back, it's going to be kaboom. Okay? Verse 25, but he's given a qualifier here. Verse 25, but first he has to suffer much and be rejected by this generation. Genea again. Racial or ethnic group. Verse 26, even the Israelites, a lot of them rejected him. They're still rejecting him today. Verse 26, and for verse 26, you can reference the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. And it came to be in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the Son of Adam. Verse 27, you can reference Genesis 7, verses 6 through 24. Genesis 7, 6 through 24. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Well, isn't that the same today? They're just not paying attention. They don't want to hear what we've got to say. They reject that. Oh man, I'm doing fine. I got a good job and I'm making money and I got lots of stuff. Worshippers of stuff. Stuff that's going to burn up. Verses 28 and 29. And for verses 28 and 29, you can reference Genesis 18:20 through Genesis 19:25. That Genesis 18:20 through 19:25. Verse 28. And likewise, as it came to be in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. Verse 29. But on the day Lot went out of Sodom, that's Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all. Verse 30. It shall be the same in the day the Son of Adam is revealed. When he comes back, it's going to be a day of wrath. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 31. And you can reference Matthew 24, verses 17 and 18. Matthew 24, verses 17 and 18, and Mark chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Mark 13, 15 and 16. Verse 31, in that day, he who shall be on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not come down to take them away, and likewise the one who was in the field, let him not turn back. Don't try to save your stuff. You need a go bag that you can grab and run and get out of the cities. Verse 32. Remember the wife of Lot. And you can reference Genesis chapter 19, verse 26, Genesis 19, 26, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. That's Matthew 10, 39, and chapter 16, verse 25. 10:39 and 16:25. Verse 33. Whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall preserve it. Okay. You can also, for that verse, for 33, reference Mark 8:35, Luke 9:24, and John 12:25. That's Mark 8:35, Luke 9:24, and John 25. Seeks to save his life, in other words, his life in this world. Try to save your stuff. And the stuff is going to burn up, and you'll burn up with it. And if you lose your life, you lose your life in this world, you don't worry about your stuff, or even if you actually die. A lot of us are going to perish. But if we are of Him, we will be resurrected. So we don't need to worry about even our physical lives. Verse 34. I say to you, in that night there shall be two in one bed, and the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Verse 35, two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. They're trying to build the rapture on this. Well, you're not going to get raptured out. You're gonna go, and you're gonna be equipped, and come back and fight. Okay, that's what that means. You're not gonna get sucked up by a cosmic vacuum cleaner. I'm sorry. Hate to spoil your party. Verse 36. You can reference Matthew chapter 24:40. That's Matthew 24:40. And some manuscripts don't have this verse. Okay? Depends on what you're reading from. I'm reading from the Scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. Verse 36, two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Verse 37, you can reference Matthew chapter 24, verse 28. Matthew 24, 28. And they answering said to him, where, Master? Where? And he said to them, where the body is, there also the vultures shall be gathered together. The vultures, birds of prey. Now, if I have a few minutes less than necessary to get into chapter 18, but I will get into chapter 18 on the next show. These two have been some mighty powerful chapters. 16 and 17 were really rock'em sock'em. Full of information, full of parables, full of teachings. That's why I don't like to rush, especially in the New Testament, where there's so many references. I mean, you're loaded up with stuff here. And I really love this large print version of the scriptures. And I want to thank Professor Truth for this. He sent this to me. And it is much easier for my old eyes to read. I've been working very, very hard on the prophets. I'm all the way up. I'm starting on the book of Obadiah. That's Obadiah. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 9 of the small minor prophets to do. Obadiah is very short. I'm going to be recording a lot tomorrow to get ahead. I have been scanning and printing, and I really need to take a full day and do a lot of recording. Get ahead. I'm not doing wake-up calls temporarily. I'm doing repeats because I have to have full days to do the scanning and printing to get this the prophets ready by the Feast of Tabernacles this year. Then I have to start in on the writings, which is going to be smaller. The book of the prophets is going to be a massive book, bigger than the Torah because of all the notes. I have little bitty books of like 2 or 3 pages and then 4 pages of notes. They're just so... so full of information. You can't skimp when you're trying to impart knowledge and all the study that I've done. It's just too important. And you deserve the very best because you're my racial kinsman and part of the seed line of Israel and members of the remnant. And I just, I can't bring myself to be stingy about readings. So I hope you're enjoying the series. I'm getting everything loaded up in the archives. All of my shows are on my website. Everything. So if they're not up or you can't find them on EFR archives, you can go to my website. Well, I'm going to play a few little tunes here and then the outro music, and I'll catch you on the next show. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Oh, my brother.
better get out on your knees and pray.
Thank you.